Drift is made possible by Sierra Sil. Imagine joint pain relief within 2 weeks. It's not a fairy tale. Joint Formula 14 comes with a money-back guarantee. That's because we are so sure these anti-inflammatory capsules, spray, even pet chews really work. Learn more in the morning. Go to SierraSil.com. The spelling's in the show notes. And use the code DRIFT for 14% off. Hello, I'm Erin, with a new story for you here as we welcome you to Drift. This is a tale of a humble farmer who has quite an extraordinary orchard. No beanstalks, but a golden apple, and the lessons it brings to us all. The golden orchard awaits, and I'm so glad you're here. Before we get ready for the fruits of the orchard and my storytelling, let me tell you about two real-life heroes, not princesses, but registered nurses, who got together, went on Canada's Dragon's Den, and turned down their money offer. Kathy and Kim formed Envy Pillow to help prevent face lines, pillowcase microbes, and neck pain. And their guaranteed product line is a business wonder story. Go to NVENVYPillow.com, read for yourself, and use the code DRIFT for 10% off anything you buy. Just before we head into the Golden Orchard, let's begin as we like to do, with a few moments of relaxation. Close your eyes. Wherever you are, whether in bed or a chair, perhaps you're traveling and just need that little nudge to take your mind off of everything. Thank you for being here. We'll start with a deep breath in and out. And as we do it again, this time, feel the breath entering your lungs through your nostrils or your mouth. Breathe in, feeling that life-giving air. And breathe out. Now, I'll ask you to let your body feel heavy wherever you are. Lower your shoulders. Let your head feel heavy on your pillow or headrest. And now that your shoulders aren't quite doing so much work, allow your arms and hands to just be limp. Take in another deep breath now. Let that life go right down to your feet and out. And if you're able, swivel your ankles a bit and then let them rest. Now, your calves and your thighs, let them feel heavy. Your backside, your back, around to your belly. And finally, with one last deep breath in, your chest full, and now out, your whole torso and shoulders and neck and legs and arms, hands and feet are all relaxed. And if you would, just think these words: I am safe, I am loved, I am at peace. And if you're ready, let's drift. Once upon a time in a small village, there lived a farmer named Elias. He lived all alone, never having taken a wife. But that was all right. Elias was happy with his work, his trees, and his humble life. Now it happens that Elias was known for his kind heart and gentle spirit, but he was often ridiculed by the villagers for his simple lifestyle. While others chased after wealth and prestige, he found joy in tending to his orchard, which was modest but filled with the sweetest fruit. He arose early in the day with the first cheerful urgings of his rooster, worked all day with a song in his heart and blisters on his hands. and went to bed as the sun set, sometimes before, to be well rested for each day that lie ahead. His life was laid out for him from sun up to sundown, and that kind of routine suited him just fine. Elias had inherited his habits, as well as the orchard, from his father, with whom he had had a close relationship. Elias's mother had died some years before his father's passing, and so it was father and son who worked the land, who kept each other company, and who would share tales that had been passed down through generations about the place where they lived. Elias's father believed that the land held a special magic. According to family legend, a golden apple once grew from a tree at the heart of the orchard, granting prosperity and happiness to the one who found it. Although Elias had searched for many years, he had yet to discover that mythical golden apple. And that was all right, for as far as Elias was concerned, he had everything he could possibly want. He had his health, he had his purpose, and he had the beauty of nature, and, perhaps most importantly, peace in his own soul. Quite likely the tale of the golden apple was one that had been made up to tell at bedtime to children eons ago, and it had simply been passed along and changed as the years went by to become the story that it was now. Whether it was true was neither here nor there, for Elias, as we say, was happy with what he had and grateful for the gifts that life had given to him. One sunny morning, as Elias was pruning the trees, he heard a soft whimpering sound coming from the edge of the orchard. Curious, he followed the noise. He pulled apart branches and peered through leaves. He stooped over to search the ground at each tree's trunk. Finally, the small voice continued to cry out softly, and as Elias looked up, he discovered a small, injured bird caught in a thicket. The bird's blue and gray feathers were ruffled, and it looked at Elias with pleading eyes. "Oh, poor little one," Elias said gently, carefully freeing the bird from the thicket's thorns and cupping the ailing creature in his calloused hands. "Let me help you." He tended to the tiny bird's wounds with bandages made from his handkerchief, and, holding it gingerly and as steady as he could, he walked the long way back to his house with his precious cargo. He tended to the bird as though he was its mother, feeding it and changing the bandage, making it a soft bed in a corner on the floor in his own pillow. He closed up the windows to the house tight every night, so that a neighboring cat didn't come in to inspect the premises or look for mice, as one often did. Elias never minded the visitors, but with an injured bird in the house, he knew that his feline friends might be a danger to his tiny, feathered patient. After a few days in Elias's warm, safe, and loving home, the bird began to heal. At first, it took halting hops and flops out of its pillow nest, only to return to its soft safety to rest and restore its energy. On the fourth day, and under Elias's caring and careful eye, the bird hopped in a steady line along the pitted wooden floors. Stepping ahead, Elias opened the front door, and the bird, seeing the outside for the first time in what seemed to it was ages, flapped its wings as it hopped, and soon cleared the doorway and began to flutter about the orchard. Elias clapped his hands and laughed with joy at the sight of his little charge having healed sufficiently to once again feel the freedom of the gentle winds beneath its fine feathers. He waved goodbye to the bird and wondered if he would ever see his friend again. Then Elias got back to his work in the orchard, a smile resting gently upon his lips. Elias needn't have wondered at all, for although the bird knew its place was under the skies, it never forgot the kindness of the human who had helped him when he most needed it. One morning, as a token of gratitude, it spotted the farmer filling a basket with some of the day's fruitful bounty. The bird perched on Elias's shoulder and began to sing the most beautiful melody. Elias was delighted, and he chuckled to himself as the bird continued to sing and sing and sing. As the days passed, the song of the bird attracted the attention of the villagers, who would walk along the dusty road that passed Elias's modest home and orchard. As word spread of this marvelous, tuneful creature, neighbors would come from near and far to hear the enchanting music that emanated from such a tiny bird. Some brought blankets and a lunch so that they might just sit and listen to the impromptu concert performed with such joyful abandon by the little winged creature. Soon, though, the villagers came to realize that what they had dismissed haughtily as this place run by a simple man with an even simpler lifestyle was far more than that. They became aware, in no uncertain terms, that the orchard was a magical place filled with wonder. How else could one explain the feeling of peace and serenity that enveloped them from the moment they stepped off the busy road and sat in stillness to breathe in the beauty of these humble surroundings? In the spirit of neighborly kindness and generosity, for which he would become known far and wide, Elias welcomed the villagers and shared the fruits of his labor with them. He offered them the sweetest apples, the juiciest peaches, and the softest and tastiest pears from the trees, which they accepted in heartfelt gratitude. In return, his fellow villagers brought him pies and jams that they made with his fruits, but they also bestowed upon Elias gifts of flowers and seeds, hoping to enhance his beautiful orchard. Grateful for their kindness, Elias decided to plant the new seeds alongside his existing trees and waited with excitement and pleasure to find out what these new plants and seeds would bring to his small, perfect world. Weeks turned into months, and the orchard flourished like never before. The trees bore more fruit than ever, and a magnificent garden surrounded them, filled with vibrant flowers that attracted bees as well as the most glorious and colorful butterflies anyone had ever seen. People began calling it the Golden Orchard, and the air buzzed not only with an atmosphere of color and productiveness, but also with joy and laughter. One day, a wealthy merchant named Lord Cedric was passing by with his entourage and saw the gathering on the fields in and around the orchard. He wondered to himself, was this some kind of holiday? Why were these people all together here, having such fun and so enjoying the day as they were? And then, seeing the sign that someone had carved and painted near the road, he remembered hearing about this so-called Golden Orchard. Even as far away as his castle, tales of its splendor had reached his ears, and Lord Cedric had hoped one day to acquire this property and its attributes for himself. As he drew closer, he saw the villagers dancing and enjoying the bounty of the orchard. How dare they be so joyful on a day that was not designated a holiday by the king? But he decided he would use his wiles in hopes of catching more flies with honey than with vinegar, and he took upon himself a shiny facade of politeness as he approached Elias. "Good farmer," Cedric said, his voice smooth as glass, What have you here?
Ah, my lord, replied Elias with a smile and a tip of his cap. This here is my orchard, our orchard, one of happiness and bounty, where all are welcome. Would you and your men like to come and have some cider and a sample of the bounty of our beautiful place?
Oh, kind sir, you are too generous. I come not for refreshment, but to make you an offer.
Elias's smile faded as he considered what the wealthy lord might say. As it turns out, he was right to feel apprehension. For the next words that came from the man on the fine horse went like this.
Dear farmer, this land is too humble for such riches. I can offer you gold beyond your wildest dreams for this orchard. I shall have my workers turn it into the largest in the land, finer than it is now, surpassing that even of His Majesty himself. Don't you see? It will be the envy of all. And you, sir, will have your days free to do whatever it is you want to do, and will be set for the rest of your life.
Elias smiled politely, but he shook his head. With the greatest respect and gratitude, sir, I cannot accept your most generous offer. You see, this place is not just land to me. It is a home filled with happiness and community. I cannot sell it, not to you, nor to the king himself.
Cedric's face darkened, but he masked his anger with a smile.
Very well, you foolish man. But mark my words, this place will fall into ruin without wealth to sustain it.
He prepared to leave, but his mind was still churning with ideas of how to make this silly farmer bend to his will. Surely the man was a simpleton who had no idea what he was turning down. Yes, he was prepared to make him a generous offer, not nearly what the place would be worth, of course, for that would be foolish on the nobleman's part. But still, it was something, and for a man who had nothing, well, it was ridiculous that he should turn it down.
As Cedric turned to leave, he spotted the little bird that had healed in Elias's care and sat watching the exchange from his benefactor's shoulder. What a strange creature, he sneered. Just like the man on whose shoulder it perches, such a silly bird has no worth. Perhaps I can change that.
Reaching into the pocket of his burgundy riding jacket, the lord pulled out a shimmering golden coin. He held it in his open hand and rocked it, moving it so that it caught the sunlight and sparkled just so. The bird, tempted by the glimmer, flew on to the man's gloved palm to inspect it. With a swift movement, Cedric closed his hand on the innocent creature, determined to cage it and use its beauty to attract riches.
Let it go, Elias shouted, rushing forward.
Let it go, cried the villagers who had watched this exchange in fear and silence.
But just as Cedric gripped the bird, a blinding light erupted from the orchard. The ground trembled, and the tree shook as if responding to an ancient magic. Within moments, branches of fruit began to glow with a supernatural hue, and from the heart of the orchard emerged the long-lost golden apple, shining like the sun. As though immersed in yellow flame, the apple rolled quickly out of the growth of fruit trees. The villagers gasped, and Cedric's greed transformed into wonder as the apple rolled towards him, stopping at the front hoof of his horse. Dismounting, Lord Cedric bent down, hardly believing the good fortune that this apple should come straight to him. Surely the most deserving of any of this grubby and motley gathering. He nearly salivated at the thought of all that he could buy and obtain through the golden orb that was shaped so perfectly. But then something even stranger happened.
more bizarre than the shaking of the orchard, even queerer than a sun-like orb heading straight towards him and his horse. For the moment that the nobleman touched the apple, he was overcome with a strange sensation. This feeling was one he could not quite put into words, but what he experienced was a blend of wealth and, was it emptiness? Yes, that was indeed the feeling. He sensed the lure and desire of immense riches, but also the weight of greed dragging at his heart. The legend has lived in my family through the generations, and it says that this apple chooses its guardian, Elias explained, stepping closer. But it grants true wealth only to those who understand the value not of richness, but of kindness. So why, one might wonder, did the apple choose who it did? Cedric asked himself that as well, and it did not take a lengthy moral inventory for the man to realize that his heart was not worthy of the apple's magic. He did not believe that he could ever be its guardian, but one thing was for sure, that realization brought about him a monumental shift. For in that moment, he knew that the way he had lived his life, in search only of monetary gain and stature, and with little regard for the joy and happiness of others, including himself, he was truly missing out on what life should surely be about. Moments like the happiness that the villagers felt in the perfection of a day spent laughing and listening to the soaring notes of a tiny creature, of savoring the sweetness that life and nature had to offer each and every person, no matter what their rank in society. He might not change forever, and he might not change immediately, but he could do one good thing for sure at this moment, and that was to release his tiny hostage. Opening his hand, he let the bird go. It soared high into the sky, singing melodiously. Just as swiftly as the bird had escaped his grasp, the apple began to roll quickly and with purpose, and disappeared back into the branches of the trees. Instantly, the orchard began to flourish even more brilliantly. Elias asked Lord Cedric once again to partake in the modest hospitality that he and his neighbors had offered. This time, the nobleman said yes. Gesturing to his men, they brought forth sacks of bread and cheese and cured meats, and full bottles of sweet wine to share with the people sitting out on blankets, enjoying their day. For hours they all savored each other's company, until the sun's light was fading, and the men who had been strangers to the villagers but were no more knew it was time to resume their travels or get lost in the dark. As the entourage rode away, heading down the same road on which they'd come, Elias waved and smiled knowingly. He had cherished both the beauty of the orchard and the bonds he had formed with his community. Looking up at the pastel colors of the early evening sky, he knew that the true treasure had always been the love and friendship cultivated in the land, not the riches others might desire. From that day on, the orchard became a sacred place where people came not only for the fruit, but also to share in the joy of community. The villagers learned the importance of generosity, kindness, and sharing the bounty that life offered. As for Elias, he continued to tend to his golden orchard, knowing he had been blessed not by gold, but by the warmth of friendship and love. And the garden, filled with flowers, continued to blossom, serving as a reminder that true wealth lies in kindness. And so, they all lived happily ever after. And with that, and thoughts of a gentle breeze blowing through apple, pear, and peach trees, the flowers fragrant in their summer blossoms, and the fading laughter of friends and neighbors gathering to share the fullness of life, I will wish you a good night and sweet dreams.